the Queen of Vrindavan is Srimati Radharani. And often we find in Vrindavan the mood to worship Srimati Radharani, even over Krishna, because it is through her grace that we can reach Lord Krishna. Radha Bhajana Yadi Mati Nahi Bela Krishna Bhajana Tava Akarana Gela Radha Bhajane Yadi Mati Nahi Bela Krishna Bhajana Tava Akarana Gela. I think it's this beat. Radha Bhajane Yadi Mati Nahi Bela Krishna Bhajana Tava Akarana Gela. Radha Bhajane Yadi Mati Nahi Bela Krishna Bhajana Tava Akarana Gela. Ataparohita Suraya Nahi Jani Radha Virahita Madhava Nahi Mani Ataparohita Suraya Nahi Jani Radha Viharita Madhav Nahi Mani Kevala Madhava Bhujaye So Agyani Radha Nadara Koroi Abhimani Kevala Madhava Bhujaye Jnagyani Radha Nadara Kori Abhimani. Hare Krishna. I would like to welcome all of you who have come to this particular session on Srimati Radharani. Particularly, I would like to welcome the daughter of Umila. Somehow I have a distinct feeling it's you, Mataji. Is this true? Your husband Mayapur Chandra is also... Please tell him that his Viman of life should somehow land here one day for a few hours, if possible. Umila distinctly told me, meet my daughter and my son-in-law. Sacred order of Umila, it cannot be disobeyed. Hare Krishna. It is very, very, very difficult to give a lecture on Srimati Radharani. But it is indispensable that in the kingdom of Radha, in where she is the queen, something is spoken in glorification of her. So being very unqualified to speak about this, I will like to go through the words of Srila Prabhupada with all of you and approach Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna is not his own property. He is the property of his pure, unconditional devotees. And as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to illustrate this point with a verse which says, those who serve directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead may certainly do so, but there is a big question mark hovering over their lives. The question is, do they please Krishna? But those who serve Lord Krishna's devotees for sure please him. So Krishna is never obtainable directly. I would like to read now from Prabhupada's writing. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Bhatu Parakamalo Yor Dasa Das Anudasa, or the most obedient servant of the servants of the Lord, who maintains the gopi damsels at Vrindavan. And there is a conclusion which Srila Prabhupada draws from this. Krishna is only obtainable from the servant of Krishna, never directly. And the conclusion, Prabhupada says, is a pure devotee therefore never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servants. And thus the Lord becomes pleased, and only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulasi leaves stuck to his lotus feet. In the Brahma Sanghita, it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literature, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotee. Now Srila Prabhupada discusses what this means in a context of Vrindavan. Krishna cannot be heard directly, he can be heard from his devotee. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. I would now like, because I know it's difficult to sometimes listen to a red text, make a Jungian observation. Carl Gustav Jung, the famous Swiss psychologist, distinguished between motherly love and fatherly love. He said the love which a mother extends to a child is always unconditional. In other words, the child just has to be in order to obtain mercy. In contrast to the unconditional motherly love, the fatherly love is conditioned. You have to bring good notes from the school in order to be appreciated by the father. The child has to behave according to norms which are taught to him by the father. So, Rupa Goswami describes this unconditional love in terms of Srimati Radharani in Ujjval Nilmani, where he says that once a calf was grazing, and while it was grazing, it pierced its mouth by one of the sharp straws of Vrindavan. It was bleeding from the mouth. Srimati Radharani saw this calf and immediately came to the help of the calf by rendering first aid to the calf. She pulled the straw out of the mouth and smeared disinfective kumkum on the mouth. This unconditional love, which is given even before being asked, is expressed in Radhakund in a typical folk story from the Brijbasis. It says that once there was a fox who died on the banks of Radhakund. So one day Srimati Radharani was walking around her kund and touched the fox with her toe. And she asked Lalita, "Something soft has touched my foot. Is it a dear servant of mine, a little manjari who pleads for my mercy?" Lalita said, "No, it's a dead fox." Radha said, "Oh, but I have assumed that it's my servant. Make her my servant." So the fox was transformed into a thing. That's a folk story. It's a itihasa. It's not found in any scriptures and has only an illustrative value for us. It illustrates a point of unconditional mercy. After Prabhupada said that Srimati Radharani resembles the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature, he continues, "Therefore the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees, and once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord is at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. The conclusion is, therefore, that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly. And by one's doing so, by the good will of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived." During Radhashtami, Prabhupada once spoke about this. He said that the very word Krishna means the all-attractive one. But there's one person who attracts even Lord Krishna. And this personality is Srimati Radharani. So if Krishna cannot be imagined, how can Srimati Radharani be imagined? Therefore, Prabhupada says, we should try humbly to understand and offer her our obeisances, saying, please say, "Radharani, you are so dear to Krishna. You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu. And you are Krishna's beloved. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you." Radharani is very dear to Krishna. And if we approach Krishna through the mercy of Radharani, we can easily attain him. If Radharani recommends a devotee, Krishna immediately accepts him, however foolish he may be. What do you all think? That's a door has just opened for us. The recommendation of Srimati Radharani will be very suitable. Consequently, in Vrindavan we find that devotees chant Radharani's name more often than Krishna's. Wherever we go in India, we will find devotees calling, "Jai Radhe! Jai Radhe! Jai Radhe! We should be more interested in worshipping Radharani. For however fallen we may be, if somehow or other we can please her, we can very easily understand Krishna. Do you know how to please Srimati Radharani? You have to please those who are dear to Krishna. Radharani does not take care of anyone who doesn't have a connection to Krishna. Remember the calf who pierced the mouth with a sharp straw? That calf was a calf from a mother cow who was extremely dear to Krishna, because this mother cow delivered the favorite milk to Krishna. You must know that Mother Yashoda had amongst her cows a small group of cows who were fed only by herbs which were brought by the servants from Vrindavan. There were these servants who went with these little sickles and brought the herbs, and these cows were munching on the herbs and producing milk, which was so extremely, it was herbal milk. It was so fragrant with the essence of different herbs that this milk was extremely pleasant to the divine taste buds of Lord Krishna. This Shri milk was nice. So Radharani will show her mercy to those who are connected with Krishna. Those who are not connected with Krishna, Radharani will not show her mercy. If you want to please Krishna, if you want to please Radharani, be on the Krishna side. Be a devotee of Krishna. Aspire for yes. They are, in other words, worshipped together. But if you worship Krishna alone, without Radharani, my dear devotee, I have stark news for you. Your so-called worship of Krishna is completely useless. Please turn to your song sheet. Radha bhajane jadi madi nahi bela. Radha bhajane jadi madi nahi bela. Krishna bhajana tava akara nagela. These are the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, if your desire for the worship of Srimati Radharani does not come about, then your so-called worship of Krishna is completely useless. In verse 2 he says, just as I never know the sun to be without sunlight, so I do not care to regard Madhava without Radha. Imagine a sun without sunlight. Would that be a sun? No. Krishna without Radharani is not complete. This is a... then again, one who worships Madhava alone is imperfect in his knowledge, and one who disrespects Radha is simply conceited and proud. Raghunath Das Goswami makes this even more clear. Madhavananda, pleasure to her. You please look at this amazing text. It's the translation. He says, how will you ever dive into the Syam Rasa? That means an exchange with Lord Syama, the ocean of Syam Rasa, if you never worship Krishna's dearest devotee Srimati Radharani, if you never come to Vrindavan, the forest which she walks in. How can you ever hope to dive into the mellow taste of ecstatic devotional flavors of the Syam Rasa if you never approach the devotees of Srimati Radharani, who are very deep? Without Radha's kripa, it is not possible Without the land in which Radha Kripa flows, it is not possible. Without the devotees in which heart there is this stream of Radha thought, it is not possible to come close. And therefore, on this sacred day, I want to enter with you the Syam Rasa. We will explain a little bit about the Rasa by trying to understand the mind of our Rasa Acharya Rupa Goswami. I will teach you the process of offering prayers to Srimati Radharani. It is called Prarthana Padati. This is a work which is very, very, very wonderful. It was written by Srila Rupa Goswami. It's only 7 shlokas. And this work is a guidebook, Padahati. Do you know what pada means? Padahati, yes. Padahati means method, but pada means foot. And hati means striking. Padahati is, in other words, the foot, what has to do with the foot striking or a footpath. And a prarthana, what is artha? You all know artha. Artha, yeah, is more like like a goal or a value or a desire in Sanskrit, and pra means to put forward. A prarthana is, in other words, something where your desire is put forward, and a padahati is a footpath which brings you to a goal or a guidebook. You, when you have a camera, video camera, you will always have a guidebook which goes along so that you know how to operate it. So this little prayer which we will learn now is actually the guidebook of prarthana, or the guidebook for prayer. You will find the same methodology which Rupa Goswami here presents in 7 verses. Is this correct? Yes, 7 verses in all guidebooks in spiritual life. If you understand it, you will have a valuable key. I have given to you the Sanskrit of this. Some have asked, Maharaj, why have you not given English translations? I have not given English translations because you are the Hare Krishna movement. The devotees in the Hare Krishna movement, when they get a text, they immediately read it and don't pay attention to what is said. That's my experience after 30 years of lecturing to you. But if you wish to have the full text and the photocopy with commentaries of Valadev Vidyabhushana, we will be rolling in the dust of Giriraj with ecstasy if we can serve you by making photocopies of this. I believe that we could do something like this. This is Kishori. Please, Kishori, rise. Kishori will be at the end of this presentation there with a piece of paper, and you can just write your sacred names there, and then you will get a translation of this afterwards. But if I give it to you now, you will just read it, and then if someone asks you what was the lecture about, or something nice, you will say, so Hare Krishna. Are you ready now to enter into Ratha theology? It's a little theoretical, but I will try it to present it as dramatic and fascinating as possible. You will give me your permission. Okay. Rupa Goswami is known as the Ras Acharya. Ras means, of course, a taste, which is very enjoyable and fascinating and ever new. Rupa Goswami has taken the theory of rasa from a work of from Bharata Munis, a very ancient composer of rasa scriptures, which explained the mundane rasa, and he has also taken notes from Agni Purana. Rasa is explained as an emotional experience which transcends any kind of experience we have. Usually rasa is presented in the rasa theory of ISKCON, to get the water out of the brain here. Well, let me start the sentence again. Rasa is inherent in Indian art. I speak now of mundane rasa. The Saint Bharat Muni wrote wonderful dramas. When you look at this drama, you understand it, you get an emotional experience that you begin to cry. Srila Prabhupada tells how in his younger life he was an actor in a theater which was directed by a famous Indian dramaturgist, and after the theater was finished, after the drama was finished, they didn't hear any reaction in the audience, and they were thinking something has not been received favorably, and they looked behind the curtain, and everyone in the audience was crying. This is happening when a drama is written according to the guidelines of rasa, the rasa theory. Music serves the same purpose as well as literature. Rasa, in other words, is generally presented in the Indian rasa theory through drama, music, and literature. I believe in the West there are also ways to bring out emotions in an audience, and that's why good artists have so much influence over the audience. Usually an ordinary person has blocked emotions. They are not coming out. His life is uneventful and so on. But look, for instance, at the power of rock and roll musicians who know the art to play the strings. It sounds for noise, but the educated, young, tamasic personality of the West feels so much emotions coming out, like sexual emotions or emotions of destruction. The Indian Ratha theory has developed the knowledge of how to bring out emotions to a very, very high degree in a very systematic way. Here at Giriraj's lotus feet, I have notes on another lecture where I speak about this, and those who wish to know a little bit about it can listen to a seminar given in Radhadesh last year called Emotions in Krishna Consciousness. But here I would only like to say that Rupa Goswami took the same categories which are there in the Rasa Shastras of Bharata Muni and applied them to Krishna. Rupa Goswami said, you can have an emotional experience with Krishna. He presented Krishna on the stage of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and in a way that a devotee can relate to him by the processes of devotional service. The emotional experience you can have in relationship to Krishna is infinitely more intense than the experiences which you can make in this world. And therefore, Rupa Goswami did not speak about only rasa, he talked about bhakti rasa. Here are the bhakti rasa scriptures, and in it he has developed, he has made one very, very interesting observation. Whereas in mundane theater or mundane rasa theory, you are only an observer of a play or of a musical recitation or of some literature. In the bhakti rasa, you are a participant. You are entering on the stage of Krishna as a humble servant who offers him the 64 angas of devotional service, and in this way connect with Krishna. And by the connection which you attain with Krishna in such a way, you will find an emotional experience which, when it is very high, develops into, you know, the symptoms of bhavas. You cry, you perspire, you shake, but it's all good. It's all an emotional intense experience. No? Rupa Goswami wrote also a few dramas in which he brought our hero Krishna on the aesthetic stage. For instance, the Natika Chandrika, he wrote poems, dramas Lalita, Madhava and Vidakta Madhava, poems, Hansa Dutta, and he compiled a prayer book called Padyavali. His poetry, he was constantly writing different poems on leaves, on the leaves. And Jiva Goswami, his disciple, once set out to collect all the poems of Rupa Goswami and made from all these, let us say, scattered poems, which were there as palm leaves everywhere, a compilation called Stava Mala, a garland of prayers. It's a very useful, a very wonderful book. It is said that through fine arts, they foster rasa. Poetry always affects the heart. It says that poetry instructs like a lover instructs another lover, whereas the Shruti give instructions like a master, and the Smritis and Puranas give instructions to us like a friend, the Bhagavatam, like a friend. But poetry, like a lover, very affectionate, very mellow, you feel something. So when you read the wonderful works like Hansa Dutta, please read Hansa Dutta or Uddhava Sandesh. Oh, my dear devotees, Hansa Dutta, the way it is composed. Srimati Radharani is suffering the pangs of separation. Lalita Sakhi from Krishna. Krishna is in Mathura. Lalita Sakhi is making a bed of lotus flowers for Radhika, which she sprinkles all with Yamuna water. But as soon as Radha lies down, the fever from the pangs of separation burn up and dry up the lotus bed. She's almost fainted at this moment. Lalita sees a big swan coming by and landing and says to the swan, "Swan, I believe you are going to Mathura. I have a message for you to deliver to the master of Mathura, to Krishna." And then Lalita Sakhi gives a beautiful poem to that Hansa, the swan, which becomes the Hansa Dutta or the swan carrier. These rasa music, rasa shastra, rasa dramas, in other words, are full of udipads or stimuli which will bring something forth in you. When you, if you read in about Krishna's lila, then you will feel a stimuli. You feel suspense. You will feel some excitement. I will tell you a Krishna lila where a good portion of rasa flows, and you will feel something. It will stimulate your thought. But we cannot think that if I just surround myself with as much stimuli as possible, I will be soon very advanced and very, very much filled with Krishna rasa. No, only with dedication to sadhana can you become qualified really to taste rasa. Rasa is tasteable by an audience. I mean, Krishna rasa or bhakti rasa is tasteable by an audience who is qualified by the process of devotional sadhana. Now, one of these sadhanas is to offer prayers. And I would like to now offer, go through this verse, this guidebook of prayer with you. Prarthana Padati. May I request you to take your song sheet out? Extra copies available? We don't have. Please go with great intense desire to your neighbor and look over his or her shoulder. Text, it starts with Sri Radhikayai Namaha, very powerful mantra. And Baladev Vidya Bhushana comments, now Rupa will beg Radharani with a prayer. We have Prarthana Padati. Do you have? We don't have the first line. No, this is very confidential. You will get it in the photocopy. It's very, very, very interesting that the prayer, the first four verses of this prayer start with glorification of Srimati Radharani. But you must go, because it's poetry, to text number 5, says Baladev Vidya Bhushana, in order to understand what is the situation in which this prayer is composed. This first verse, in other words, is in direct connection with the fifth verse. You have entered a lecture on poesy, so don't be surprised to be surprised. We will therefore go to text number 5 to enter through this verse into the prayer, just because we want to analyze the prayer. Tvamaso yachate natva. Vilutan yamuna tate kakubhir vyakula svanto jano brindavaneshvari. So, having offered obeisances, this person rolling on the ground on the bank of the Yamuna River, with mind bewildered, petitions you with a cry of lamentation, O Vrindavaneshwari, Queen of Vrindavan. Imagine the picture. Rupa Goswami, rolls on the ground on the bank of the river Yamuna. His mind is bewildered. Why is it bewildered? There is a grief, a problem in his mind. This mind is so much bewildered that he doesn't say Rupa Goswami rolls on the ground. He says this person is so Janaha, this person, he refers to himself in a distant case. This person rolls on the ground on the bank of the Yamuna River with a mind bewildered. And then it says, he petitions Radharani with a cry of lamentation. What a beautiful picture. His agony is so strong. Rupa Goswami's pain in the heart is so strong that it has entered the mind and bewildered it. But it has also manifested in his body, and he is rolling now on the shore of River Yamuna. This is a sign of intense eagerness. In kirtan philosophy, we know this means when you clap to the kirtan, chasing away the sinful reactions from the heart. This means to beg for mercy. And finally you start rolling on the ground, because when you not get the mercy, the only option left to you is to roll on the ground to get the mercy. This is the highest degree of mercy begging. Isn't it, Siddheshwari, when Satya really wants something and she cannot obtain it, she will throw herself on the ground and raise a terror usually. But if you really want something intensely, in the West we go on our knees. But a more intense degree is to start rolling on the ground. Sometimes devotees imitate this and they say, oh Prabhu, here's a good spot to roll. Or here we rolled last year on the ground. No, the rolling on the ground must be in the heart first. This we learn here from Rupa Goswami. He has a problem. He has a grief. This is how we enter the prayer. It's a prayer put forward with great eagerness. Now you might like to know what is his problem. Please rest this question as we go to verse number 1. Because when you approach a person, you will not just say, I came to get this from you, Shamika Rishi. This is impolite. I will first visit his house. I will praise his good qualities. And then I will say, Shamika Rishi, I need a room with absolute peace to prepare a seminar. And then Shamika Rishi will say, yes. So Rupa Goswami is on the shore of Yamuna. He is not directly at the start saying what he wants of Radharani. But first, he will now glorify it. This you must also know when you go before the deities. Don't just come in a primitive way and say, I want this, 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 and that my son passes the test of the next examination, please. First, glorification is required to obtain mercy. And this is the first verse. Shuddha Gangeya Gaurangim. Kurangi langi mekshanam, jita kotindu bimbasyam, ambudambara samvritam, Yes. Srimati Radharani is here called Gaurangi. Gaurangim. Do you know another go? Do you know what reminds us? Gauranga. He has Gauranga. Gaurangi means her limbs are golden. But Rupa Goswami says her limbs are not ordinary golden. It is Gangeya Gaurangim. By the way, do you hear the beautiful sound? Shuddha Gangeya Gaurangim Kurangi Langi Mekshanam. It's always it's crying. This golden, you have limbs which are more brilliant than pure gold. And Baladev expresses, her limbs are more gold than those made of the pure product of the Ganga. The product of the Ganga in the heavenly planets, there's gold, pure gold on the bank of the Ganga. So Srimati Radharani's limbs are more exquisite than this pure gold on the banks of the Ganga, the heavenly Ganga. Then he explains, you have beautiful eyes like those of a doe. Do you know what is a doe? A female, how do we say, a female deer. A female deer. Have you ever seen closely the eyes of a doe? They are, first of all, very big. Second of all, they are extremely sensitive. They will move. They are not dull eyes, in other words. And you have lips which conquer tens of millions of moon globes. Have you seen the Kartik moon globe? How beautiful it is. How mind enchanting it is. How the moon attracts your mind. Have you seen that? And you are adorned with garments that are like a rain cloud. Jiva Goswami is describing the unusual clothing habit of the divine couple. Krishna will dress and clothe the color of Radharani, and Radharani will dress and clothe the color of the dark rain cloud. In other words, Krishna's color. So you with limbs more brilliant than pure gold, beautiful eyes like those of a doe. Did we bring the tambura? No. It is maybe a little late. Or is it possible to bring the tambura? Because we will... Would you mind? Good. You have eyes like the eyes of a doe and lips which conquer tens of millions of moon globes. And you are adorned with garments that are like a rain cloud. Verse number 2, please repeat. Isn't this wonderful? Thank you. Navina Bala Vivrinda Dami Lottang Samalikam Divya Ratnya Dalankara Sevyamana Tanushriyam.